On this Earth Day, I do want to take a moment to mention Robin McCleary. She was featured on television, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. Her and Chris both spend a lot of time rescuing and rehabbing animals. So if you get a moment today, please take a moment and send them a thank you note for all the work that they do for the wounded and the people, that the creatures that need help. I also want to thank Elon for preaching while I was away. Sister Elon did a wonderful job. And one of the things that's also very special when I did supply preaching is to be able to even just be in a congregation. So to be able to preach and then to be able to just be in a congregation is a special gift. So hopefully we are able to give that gift back to you as well. So thank you. Thank you so much. I will also get in a commercial for Brother Dwayne, who will be preaching for me next month when I am out of the pulpit again. I will be performing a wedding in the Shenandoah Valley and also preaching down there. So look forward to Dwayne preaching on the 20th. Is that right? Good. I'm glad we had our dates together. Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. Wonderful. I do feel like I've been away for ages. I had a week to prepare for the Outstanding Virginian thing that was held in Richmond last Saturday. And then after all of those shenanigans, almost immediately leaving for Florida in order to join six other MCC folks working together to plan the 8 worship services for the 2019 General Conference, which will be the 50th anniversary celebration of our denomination. I feel like I am still a blur, still in motion, and I have to tell you that I found most of my reflection today, sometime yesterday evening, somewhere 30,000 feet above the earth. Life is interesting indeed. Will you join me in a moment of prayer, please? Spirit of life, Spirit of gentleness, Great Shepherd, we give thanks for all your many blessings and gifts. We give thanks for life, for the stories. We give thanks for the ability to gather together in community, to share our stories, to support one another, and to grow together. Grant us an awareness of you in our world, in our hearts, in our souls, in our very being. In the places of isolation and brokenness, the places where we are all too often driven by fear, by anxiety, and by separateness. Enter within, guide us, comfort us, grant us peace. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. It definitely is a joy to be back here with you in church. Now, church, I do not mean the building, although that's nice as well, or even the structure, which we will talk about a little bit today in the class, the one following worship today that Frank will be leading. So, church is not a community building. It is building community. It is each one of you and all of you together. And so I celebrate church with you here today, or as a friend of mine says, churchin'. And today is also Earth Day. Yay. Yay for our planet, for the good earth from which we were all born and formed. It is our common home. And even though Mother's Day is a few weeks away, I often find myself thinking on Earth Day, not only of my mother Earth, but of my earthly mother, the one who carried me, the one who gave birth to me, the one who gave me life. I also remember that she nearly gave up her life for me. Now, I was born in a small hospital, practically a one-room hospital, up in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia. Now, what I know of my birth was that it was a rough one. It was a hard one. I almost didn't make it on that hot day in August. And then as labor continued, both mom and me almost didn't make it. Dad left the hospital to go pray in the woods. It was about 100 feet away. Yes, there was a forest right next to the parking lot. He walked a little path there into the woods and prayed while Mom struggled in labor. And at the last push, my mom was near death. She nearly gave her life for mine so that I might live. But in the end, she rallied, and I was pushed, ejected, unceremoniously, practically shoved into this world, kicking and screaming. Now, my relationship with my mother had some complicated points during my life, don't we all sometimes? But I never forgot that she was willing to lay down her life for mine, and that she not only gave me birth, but she gave me life. Not only that, but she gave me a life. She gave me a life. She raised me well with strength. And in a paraphrase of Micah 6, verse 8, she raised me to be good, to play fair, and to hold God's hand in mine as I walked this earth, or as I sat 30,000 feet above it. Now, both Mom and Dad invested in me. They protected me. They nourished me. And through their care and their love, they taught me that until we are willing to invest of ourselves in those around us, to gather around us the lost, the lonely, and wounded souls of our community, shepherding them, bringing our flock home, then we will sometimes struggle uncomfortably ourselves with the pain and the suffering of scattered community. Nearly 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was offering up the parable of the Good Shepherd, that's what he was talking about: investment, commitment, and caring. Building community, reaching out, the will to sacrifice, to give things up. In the case of Jesus, the commitment to community had dire, painful, and deadly consequences. Sheep. I even brought some sheep's wool with me today. You'll see it up here on the altar. It's even kind of nicely colored. And it's touchable. I'm kind of into the thought now that worship, good worship, should involve all the senses and every part of them. So Heather offered up this sheep's wool today for us to have here. It's from one of her acoustical projects. You can ask her after worship. It's worth a conversation. It is worth a touch. Now, it has, if you touch it, you'll find it has lanolin on it, okay, which comes from the Latin word lana, meaning wool, and oil, oleum, lanolin. It's something that sheep make to help them shed water and survive in this world. Now, how many of you have ever worked with sheep? Okay. Yay. Then you know it's an acquired skill. Sheep are beautiful and difficult animals. And now, if one works with them well, then it appears very, very easy. If one works with them not well, then the sheep will wear that person out long before the day is done. Now, in Scotland and in Ireland, as well as in many other places here at home and around the world, shepherds enlist the help of dogs to assist them. Sheepdogs, border collies. And if you have ever seen a well-trained dog work a herd of sheep, it is amazing. It is a beautiful thing. The dogs are at the same time firm yet careful. They're patient, but they're insistent. They have a job to do, and occasionally even nipping lightly at the heels of strays. That's a lot like tough love. And yes, sometimes love has teeth. Can I get an amen? Amen. It does. Now, my mother was raised on a farm deep in the Allegheny Mountains of Virginia, and she told me that she had even seen good sheepdogs run on top of the herd, over the backs of the sheep, to quickly cross from one end of a large, dense herd to the other, to defend the herd from danger. Now, I've never seen such a thing, but I do indeed believe my mother. My city-dwelling sister, on the other hand, in the hopes of gaining such a bright animal as a pet, invested dearly in a toy border collie. It was indeed a toy. A smaller and much more highly strung version of the original larger dog. It would happily spend hours on end yipping loudly in the living room, trying to get her living room furniture herded together into a group. Inbreeding does some strange things to animals. But the point is, sheep are beautiful and difficult things. They're challenging to us, so challenging that we have enlisted the help of others, other animals, to help us manage them. Sheep are independent in some ways, yet reliant in others. Even though they may move in a herd, in a community, they are distinct, and they have their own personalities, their own appearances. If you have ever watched a herd of sheep grazing gently on a green hillside from a reasonable distance, almost looks like a cloud. You'll be able to see their behavior more clearly. They seem to form difficult and delicate alliances, moving together, coming close, but not too close. If you watch long enough, you may even see the herd almost seem to breathe, moving out to the edges, coming back in again, as it gradually moves over the hillside like a cloud moving across the sky. If they become startled by a wolf, a danger, some other predator, what do? They immediately scatter, like white seed puffs from a dandelion in the breeze, and almost just as quickly begin to recover themselves, draw back together, coming together tightly in a tight-knit, quickly moving herd. And who becomes lunch? Generally the sheep moving alone. The tired, the weak, the wounded. The ones who have somehow become separated from the herd. The Good Shepherd. Who is the Good Shepherd? One who knows their sheep and is known by their sheep. The one who moves ahead of the sheep, leading them safely into the green pastures and beside still waters. The one who does not, in their own enthusiasm, move ahead so quickly to these places as to lose the herd in the process. The one who guides them once moving. The one whom the sheep will follow because they know the voice. It's like music. It's associated with food and nourishment and safety and protection and peaceful places. Yes, the sheep know the Good Shepherd, just as the Good Shepherd knows the sheep and knows them well, knows which ones are difficult, which ones need help, which ones are young, which ones are not well, and which ones can be counted on to help nudge others along. The Good Shepherd is one who guards and protects the flock. You may often see shepherds of old depicted with a rod or a staff, a shepherd's crook, a long staff of wood with a hooked end, looking a lot like an oversized cane. It was the tool of a good shepherd. It was used as a walking stick, but its true purpose was to help the shepherd with challenging situations. The tip might be used to guide the sheep herd across the road, or the hook might be used to scoop up a wandering, lost, or otherwise out-of-reach sheep or lamb. Or it might be used to ward off a predator. A good shepherd will give their life to protect the flock. It is a conscious choice and a willing decision. Jesus is the good shepherd. And as we draw nearer to Christ, so may we draw nearer ourselves to the nature and the way of Christ's life, following in the paths where the good shepherd leads us. And in doing so, we may also feel led to help others, to reach out to them, to watch over them, to care for them, to get to know them, to give life to them and to give of our life to them. In doing so, we become the Good Shepherd. My own life has been shaped by many Good Shepherds, those who shaped me, protected me, giving me guidance, giving me a place in the flock of our community. We are all challenged to be more like the Good Shepherd. When we have guests, either here in this community or even those who are passing through our lives, individuals from other places and other folds, it is both a challenge and a gift to welcome them, greet them, and show them care. While there are indeed some communities that seek to foster belonging by excluding others, that seek to retain ownership of the table by turning away others, this is not the way. I've heard it said that one of the best ways to feel that you belong to a community is to welcome others into the community. Belong by helping others belong. It is the simple things that are often the most profound and meaningful to others. A nudge, a touch, a word, a smile, a conscious choice, and a deliberate decision. Now, I have to tell you that when I was in Richmond and I had to go up onto the stage and receive an award, it was surreal to me. I felt terrified, lost, weak at the knees, and so very, very alone. Suddenly, Sakia McKenzie, African-American, 6'5" in heels, known in Richmond for multiple performance titles on the drag circuit, and especially for her tireless work around trans and HIV issues, for which she was receiving an award as well. Out of nowhere, she reached over and took hold of my hand. She made a conscious choice and a deliberate decision, and she did it. And suddenly, I came alive. I looked over at her and I smiled, and we walked up to the stage together, hand in hand. No reward or recognition received that evening meant more to me than the kindness that was shown to me by this stranger. We talk about doing things and acting in ways that are Christian. Some of the people that act like Christians are not Christians. And some people that claim the title are not Christians. Suddenly I felt like I belonged as a result of her reaching out to me. A conscious choice, a deliberate decision of her own accord. It is so easy sometimes to feel lost and alone, like a wandering sheep, until someone comes along and makes a difference in our life. And I find myself thinking that that evening, Zakiya may have been feeling just about as alone and as out of place as I was, just as different, just as outcast. And yet she had the strength and the presence of mind and the awareness to look around, to find a lost sheep, to reach out to me, to show me, to teach me, to touch me, to become a shepherd, to become a good shepherd. As Ram Dass said, ultimately, we are all just walking each other home. We are all indeed connected in strange, mysterious, unusual, and surprising ways, as our more easily accessed DNA tests are so quick to show us. We find out that we may have heard from our family, we're from this continent, but we're from this continent. we may have heard that we had these relatives, and then we discover, wait a minute, there's somebody across the country who is very closely related to me, as in mother, father. I have friends who have fallen into that category and received some surprises that they have had to take back to their family and say, is there something you're not telling me? We are all indeed connected, yet in the midst of life, it is so easy to feel overwhelmed. How on earth do we change the world? How do we make the world a better place for others and for ourselves? How do we care for our planet? It is so easy to feel overwhelmed, even caught up in our own stuff. So caught up in our own feelings of being wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. So much we miss as a result. And yet it is the simple things that make the most difference, that are the most profound to others. A smile, an act of thoughtfulness, recycling, planting a tree, grooming our own little patch of earth. The space around us that's within arm's reach, we can do so much with that. Walking in a park, wandering in nature, letting life speak to us through all of our senses. Holding a cat, if you can. They're sometimes hard to hold. Hugging your dog. Our animal friends. Watching for and encountering and experiencing God in all things. In an offering to share our life with another life. In a life-giving moment, even if only for a moment. It is a conscious choice, a willing and deliberate decision of your own accord. You can do it, or you cannot. What are you willing to lay down for such things? For the healing and the wholeness of others as well as yourself. What are you willing to lay down for life? Are you willing to lay down your fear, your shyness, your pride, your anxiety, your rush to busyness and the headlong tumble into the next moment, your fear of rejection? What are you willing to lay down in order to more fully take up your life? In this moment, what are you willing to lay down in the creation of life in a larger community? The Good Shepherd gave life. The Good Shepherd comes to us so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Your life is your own, yours to do with what you will. You may keep it to yourself, or you may share it richly with others in your community. You may keep your life to yourself, or you may give life to others. It's a conscious choice, a willing and deliberate decision. Make it well. So may it be.